Welcome to Shakespeare FC, The Words, a five-minute journey into the individual bits of language that were forged, fletched, hewn, and hammered, and sometimes crowbarred, into existence by our brilliant and witty Warwickshirean wordsmith, or, as you become more familiar, Uncle Will. I'm your host, Kari Marshall.
Order in court, all rise, please.
Today we are not exactly heading to court, but we will definitely be court-adjacent as we jump into William's tale of King Richard II, a king who ascended to the throne at the ripe old age of 10, whose entitlement was only rivaled by his inefficiency as a ruler, whose economic policy was essentially tax everyone to death, a strategy that was about as popular and effective as trying to induce empathy through waterboarding, and essentially led to the famous Peasants' Revolt of 1381, but we are getting ahead of ourselves. The reason we find ourselves in the realm of Richard is that Uncle Will decided to take a well-used adjective, one who is accused, and to create a noun for the one who was on the receiving end of the finger-pointing, the accused. In the opening scene, William introduces us to a delightful display of aristocratic bickering, where we meet King Richard, resplendent in his inefficiency, and his nobles, Henry Bolingbroke and Thomas Mowbray, who are essentially grown men indulging in a glorified schoolyard spat. Bolingbroke accuses Mowbray of treason and murder, and Mowbray responds with the Elizabethan equivalent of, "I know you are, but what am I?" But anyway, to the opening.
Tell me, moreover, hast thou sounded him if he appeal the Duke on ancient malice, or worthily, as a good subject should on some known ground of treachery in him?
As near as I could sift him on that argument, on some apparent danger seen in him aimed at your highness, no inveterate malice.
Then call them to our presence. Face to face, and frowning brow to brow, ourselves will hear the accuser and the accused freely speak.
The verb accuse has been around for quite a while, at least from the early 1300s, coming from the Latin accusare, meaning to call to account. So what is so special about William performing this alchemic wordsmithing? Well, there is a subtle difference in not necessarily the actual definitions of the words. I mean, those who stand accused of a crime are by definition the accused. But there is a different feeling to them. To accuse someone of some misdeed somehow, to my mind at least, keeps the deed in some ways apart from the character of the person. They are a mother, a banker, a student who is under suspicion of doing something questionable. But when that moves to the noun, their identity is completely wiped away. They are no longer the 30-year-old mother of two, the philanthropist from the Toledo area, or the university social science student. They are simply the accused. However, without this little linguistic leap, I suppose much of our legalese would be a tad bit more cumbersome and a bit lackluster. See episode 3. The change from adjective to noun doesn't always have to be dire, though. I mean, you have one who is the object of affection, the loved, one who is fond of acquiring knowledge, the learned, one who is subject to dreams, the dreamer. Now, what would you call someone who is rather fond of Uncle William and his works? One who is swept away by the talent and tales of the bard? Well, that would be a bardolator. And to that allegation, I am simply not the accused, but guilty as charged, Your Honor. Well, alas and alack, my friends, that is all we have time for. Join us again next time for another hopefully informative journey into the mind of Uncle William. I'm Kari Marshall. Farewell until next time.
Shakespeare FC is a production of WGTE Public Media and is sponsored in part by a generous donation from the Cowie Family Fund. All previous episodes are available at wgte.org/sfc or wherever you get your podcasts.